the tabletop. Take away
game mechanics on display.
Three designers share the stage.
Pick a genre and we'll play
the tabletop. Take away.
Welcome back to the Tabletop Takeaway. I'm Ananda Gunaratna.
I'm Charlie McCarron.
And I'm Trevor Miller-Hagel.
And today we are going to be doing our bonus wrap-up episode on auto battlers, which for our purposes, basically games where you set up your battle, or I guess in the case of Magical Erasers, your race. And then you just kind of watch and see what happens. And it resolves itself.
Yeah. And inspired by video games, but of course we were doing board game versions, Challengers, Magical Athlete, and Tag Team. I enjoyed all of them even more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah, same here. When Ananda was talking about doing auto battlers, I was like, is there even board game out there that does that? It's like, okay, Magical Athlete he wanted to do. Okay, so what else is out there? We started diving into it, and there aren't a ton of options. But there's actually been more of a pickup over the past couple of years, apparently, of either new ones being made or, you know, newer versions being made, which I think is really cool. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think some takeaways that we had early on in this series was the idea that you aren't making that many decisions, but the decisions you make are pretty important.
Right.
Impactful. For example, yeah, Challengers, it's adding a couple cards to the deck you're going to play out, and then you get the fun of seeing what happens. Magical Athlete, it's choosing the character you want to use for the race. And then Tag Team is more decisions in it, but
yeah,
essentially choosing the combo of characters you're going to use and then deciding how you're going to make your program as you play.
Very similar to Challengers, though, that as you're building your deck, you like every round you get to build it a little bit more and kind of flesh it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the core fun is seeing what happens.
Yeah.
And then tweaking it and seeing what happens again.
Mm-hmm. There's something very nice and fun about like just going with the flow and not. It's more of an entertainment game. Than a thinky, crunchy game, hard to calculate all this stuff.
I mean, it's also decisions are work.
Yeah.
And people like getting rewards without having to do a lot of work.
But they don't want to just be given.
Right. They don't want to be given. They want enough. They want to do enough work that it's plausible that they deserve the rewards. But it's nice to just sit back and think, well, you know, everything's set. So this is out of my control. You know, maybe I got something wrong, maybe I didn't, but I can just relax and watch what happens. And I don't need to worry about, you know, do I need to make this decision in the future or should I be planning for this? You don't have to do any planning. There's no decision fatigue, which is very nice.
It's reminding me of like the feeling of rolling a snowball down a hill where it's like you see the
where
snowball.
Where is it going to go?
Yeah, you see it go and
oh, I hit a rock. Oh,
builds
man.
Up and builds up and then, yeah, I don't know. That's if you can get that feeling across in a game, like that's pretty cool. Set something in motion and yeah. What's another thing? Like what's the machine where you, a Rube Goldberg machine or something where you start a thing and
it causes other things to happen that
can
be either more or less momentum.
Yep.
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Yeah. And I guess one thing we talked about a little bit is video game auto battlers versus board game auto battlers.
Sure.
Because I think one really interesting thing is that you might expect that video game auto battlers would be better because the computer
handles all the math,
but it's actually completely the reverse.
Right.
Because in a video game auto battler, it is much more difficult to get the player to appreciate why things are happening the way they're happening. Like if, you know, you win a battle, you may not be entirely sure why you won that battle because the computer resolved everything.
Right.
Whereas in a board game, you are resolving every step. And so you have much more insight into what is or isn't working well about your setup,
right?
Which lets you adjust things. So I think this is one area where board games have a huge advantage over video games.
The clarity of the feedback is very clear.
Yes.
Or at least a lot clearer.
Yes, because of the player involvement in resolving it.
Yeah. Yeah, this series I feel like ties kind of nicely into our programming game series.
Absolutely.
Especially like Tag Team obviously felt more programmy. Mm-hmm. But games like Mechs versus Minions I don't know, River Dragons is another programming one that feels like that, where you're setting up and hoping this program will work.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a cool...
So what do you guys think in terms of auto battlers? Would you rather have the deck be randomized each time, or do you like the programming aspect more?
I mean, I think it depends on the game setup.
All depend on the game setup.
The ordered deck worked really well for Tag Team.
It really did, yeah.
But the random deck works really well for Challengers.
Yeah, and I think the cards for Challengers are a lot simpler, right? And so like you can kind of have more of a chaos element in there.
Yeah.
Where you can kind of, I know what this card does, I get this effect.
Well, the thing is, in Challengers, the order in which the card comes out matters a lot.
Yeah.
So the order of your deck matters without caring at all about what your opponent's doing.
Right.
Whereas in Tag Team, the order of your deck matters because of what your opponent is doing. Because you are trying to order things so that...
It's part of the strategy.
Right, yeah. Tag Team is very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
So having the deck maintain its order, I think, works very well with that.
Yeah.
Because you are trying to manipulate the order to line things up just right. Whereas in Challengers, the decks are not really that interactive because you're switching opponents every round.
Yep.
So you can't build against a specific opponent.
Right. And honestly, like the characters are, a lot of them are just, you know, they have this score, the strength score in Challengers.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't actually create like a puzzle for you to solve. You are trying to beat the puzzle.
Right.
So how do I beat it in the most probable way possible?
Yeah. Challengers is more about building a machine.
Yeah.
Whereas Tag Team is more about reacting to what your opponent is doing.
Right.
So I think they have very different needs as far as ordering.
So if you were to make an auto battler.
That's what I was going to ask. Good question.
Well, I have made a couple of games, I suppose, that are kind of auto battlers. Actually, I started work on one recently. But the one a while ago that I was trying to make, it was called Kludge.
Yeah.
And Tag Team reminded me a bit of it. Because the idea in Kludge is you have robots. Mm-hmm. And the robots have programs. And every turn you have to execute one of these programs, but you can also add an instruction to it, but that instruction will be there forever.
Interesting.
So as the game goes on, the programs get more and more elaborate and you have to work around any quirks about them.
Okay.
And my new game is more of a spaceship fighting game. And one thing I've run into on both of them is, I think it is actually quite difficult to make a good auto battler in two dimensions in a board game.
Say more about that.
So when you have an auto battler in one dimension, for example, Magical Athlete,
mm-hmm.
where you're going towards a specific goal, any move forward is plausibly a move towards that goal.
Right.
Even though you don't need to make any changes because it's just, okay, you always want to go forward.
Oh, I went forward. Good.
Right.
Yeah.
But in a two-dimensional game, going forward is not always good.
Right.
Going left or right is not always good. And so you're kind of in a place where the player might have to make quite a lot of choices, mm-hmm. or have their actions feel kind of arbitrary because their character is just wandering randomly around the board if they don't have any control over where it's going.
It's like Mechs versus Minions.
Yes.
Because players do make choice on which direction they're going to turn sometimes.
Which they facing direction.
But you're still going through the program, but yeah.
Well, that's actually a really good point. Because I remember one of the really cool things about Mechs versus Minions that we talked about is you can kind of just accidentally kill the minions just by walking over them.
Right, right.
And in a system like that, you're right. Like, any direction you go is plausibly the right direction because you're squashing minions.
Yeah.
Which means that might be the thing that you have to do in this sort of game. Just have people achieve goals accidentally no matter where they're moving.
Yeah.
It might be a lesser goal. It may not be like actually a big step, but I feel like it gives you a point or a goal or a thing that just like a little reward. Oh, great. I still got that. Didn't do what I wanted it to do, but that's still awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. I should probably look into that.
I was thinking about what would I want to do, and if I was making an auto battler as a video game, I think the lesson here is, like, if you are doing that, make sure things are not all under the hood mm-hmm. in terms of like what's happening. And I haven't really played many auto battler video games, but it seems like maybe the worst solution would be like you see some damage being done, but you don't actually see the characters doing, or you don't know why they're doing it.
You don't know why this big combo just happened, but it was a really big combo and it's awesome. And if you knew all the rules, you'd understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, not telling you.
Yeah. And I think it's not an auto battler, but the game Fantastic Contraption, is that the one where you're building the machine and it's kind of like...
Fantastic.
It's usually you're building a machine that has to have some wheels and it goes out and tries to accomplish a task.
This reminds me of something I played in the fourth grade. I don't know if it's the same thing you're thinking.
You're talking about The Incredible Machine, right?
Maybe. I don't remember the name of
it. The one where you build a machine to complete a task, but I don't think that's what you're talking about.
It might be a knockoff of that. I don't know.
You'd make like go-karts and things and like race them, but you just like do all the like building of the go-kart, like getting like the right slope or the right hood or...
Oh,
you just send it on its way and it would go run the race.
That's different than... I was thinking of The Incredible Machine where you're making a Rube Goldberg machine to do something.
Oh, cool.
But that might be something else, too.
I think it's something else completely.
Well, anyways, I think the idea of that you're building something and seeing how it turns out, I would try to apply that to whatever game I was doing where it's like very physics-based maybe rather than just stat-based or something.
Sure.
Yeah. And maybe tying that back into board games. I don't know. What would be a physics-based version of this?
So it's kind of crazy. My cousin got a gift for me this past Christmas called Ball X Pit.
Oh, I've played that.
And it's not necessarily an auto battler per se. You basically have, you know, those ball shooter games where you shoot it out and it gets stuck somewhere, and then you combine that with the break the block.
Breakout.
Break the brick. Breakout.
Breakout.
Yeah, and so you have both of these concepts where these balls are going out and hitting enemies and doing stuff, and they all can be upgraded in different ways and do, like, different types of damage or mass damage or, you know, you have all this stuff going on. And then you have these little ones, too. And after they start hitting things enough times, they start going faster and faster. And you just know that things are getting damaged, but it's really hard to track what is dealing the damage.
Yeah.
What is the most helpful thing you have out there? And it's a very good, like, physical representation of kind of this idea. And you can actually just hit it on repeat. So as soon as you get the balls back, you just shoot them out again. Or you could have it controlled by a trigger, basically. But yeah,
I'm picturing a little like pinball where that makes me think of pinball kind of applies where it's like do one thing, hit the ball with your paddle, and then suddenly it goes up and it does like
except
all
you
these...
shoot the ball out of your character.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's not like a side thing. It's not like you're actually moving through a zone, and you're trying to hit these enemies. And you can turn and hit things in different directions, and sometimes you can get benefits for hitting things from the sides. Like there's just a lot of stuff going on, doing critical hits, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think it's very based on physics intuition.
Yeah.
Because like you see how they're bouncing and you can make slight adjustments.
Yeah, so you just got it so it can bounce back and forth really fast between two things.
Yeah,
and
they're like,
you do like tons of damage instantly.
Oh, yeah, that worked. I need to keep doing
or
that.
Or make it hit the back wall first and then hit all the things behind them.
Yeah.
All that classic stuff. But
what would you do?
For designing... my original idea was to look at converting my Archmagus world into this kind of game just to give me, like, some practice on it. I made a quick little prototype last month. Didn't run really at all. Didn't quite work.
What happened?
Well, things happened, but I had too many either choices or too many different things that could happen. It was too dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not two, number two. There were too many dimensions, and so it wasn't actually an auto-battler. And so I was too, like, kind of crazy about it. But I've been thinking, instead of adding it to my Heroes game, which I was going to actually take some from our last series or a few series ago, I got some inspiration. I was going to start redoing that. But now knowing this, like being able to do quick 5-minute combats, like I really want to have something like that. And this would be a great way to resolve that. And having fewer cards that are smashed up things, I really love that idea from Tag Team. So I might try and implement that a little bit into my Heroes game and see what happens with that.
Cool.
But yeah, I love the idea of still making co-ops because I love making co-ops. And so trying to find a way to make a co-op auto battler where you're against an enemy that might have a randomized pre-built deck or a growing deck.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a neat idea. I can imagine sort of a time loop thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're, you know, you're trying to defeat the same enemy and you keep losing and then you go back and you change.
Oh, yeah, very much like a, yeah.
Co-op auto battler.
Yeah, co-op auto battler.
Changing your strategy. And as you go, you can...
Very roguelike-esque.
Yeah, reveal more and more of the enemy's strategy.
That sounds fun because I think there's something really satisfying in a weird way about losing very miserably to something and then getting another chance at it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wow, we got crushed by that boss. And now, ooh, maybe we can make it a little farther before we die.
And that will unlock this thing for us to do more cool stuff.
This makes me want to try that for my spaceship game.
Yeah.
Which was going to be a 1v1, but could be a co-op.
It's a co-op?
Could be a co-op. There's like
a 1v all.
Yeah, well, no, there's like I'm imagining there's a horde of enemy ships.
Sure, and, Galaga style.
Yeah, and you have to defeat them all, you and your plucky companions. And
are you all on the same ship, or you have separate ships?
No, you'd be in separate ships.
Okay.
Probably. And it could be like... tag team where, you know, you're just gradually growing out your program every round.
Yeah.
That might work.
Sounds fun.
I will say the last time I tried to borrow one was from the real-time series for Heroes. And I got really close to something, but then backed away from it. So maybe I need to look at that again, too. Yep. Dutch Blitz. Yeah. Dutch Blitz.
Yeah. Oh, I remember we also talked about earlier, not on the program, but about Auto Battler Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Because baseball is not really that dimensional.
Yeah.
So
throw ball, hit ball.
Yeah.
How far you go, it got caught.
No. Yeah, and then there's like moving around the bases. Yeah. So I can imagine like a magical athlete-ish type thing.
Oh, sure.
Where you have crazy zany characters playing baseball.
Yeah.
Well, automatically crazy zany characters playing anything is going to be automatically more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No offense, baseball. I hope you're not listening.
Well, do you guys have takeaways from the Auto Battler series?
I think, yeah, overall, and I think I've said this in one of the episodes, but having that, you know, feedback, instant feedback, lots of rounds, lots of fights, lots of whatever it is, so that you can either learn your system, improve your system, and get automatic feedback for what that is. I think that whole cycle is really important for auto battlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think maybe my takeaway is actually more on the video game side of things. Because after playing a bunch of board game auto battlers, I think video game auto battlers... You know, this whole need for feedback is a major barrier, which some of them have solved. I think if you're making a video game auto battler, you need to be paying a lot of attention to the feedback your players are getting.
Mm-hmm.
And repetition is a great way to do that. I guess that was kind of my takeaway from the last episode. But repetition is great for video game feedback. But otherwise, you know, really think about what feedback they're getting and if it's too much, because it's often way too much.
Knowing
it's,
every point of damage that something does, if you're doing 30, 40 things per second. It's like, oh, God.
It's it's way too easy to just say, oh, the computer's going to take care of all of this. Right, well, right. Just because the computer can take care of that doesn't mean that the human can. I remember there was actually a video game auto battler game that I was making a while ago that I might return to, which was kind of like Pokemon, except with bugs. Oh. And the bugs aren't really under your control. They do things based on the pheromones in the environment.
Okay.
And you sort of you add pheromones to the environment to try to change their behavior. But also your enemies are also bugs that are controlled by pheromones, so you can control their behavior too.
Oh, interesting.
So what would you do differently now? Because I remember playing that and I did have that feeling of like, I don't know what's going on here.
A bit overwhelming, yeah. Right? I think maybe, first of all, reducing it to one bug v. one bug is probably a good idea because I had teams of bugs fighting each other. And that's
tag bugs.
That's too much feedback, certainly. Repetition-wise, I'm not sure what to do with repetition to make that easier. But certainly requiring the player to add pheromones each turn. Oh, you know what it was? I think I had it going in real time with like a turn thing ticking down.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it gets to zero, they attack. And now I think maybe that was the wrong way to do it entirely because then there's too much information you have to process.
Sure.
So probably making it turn-based would be another thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope you do that. I want to try it again. I think my takeaway, I'm going to partially steal from Ananda's magical athlete takeaway, which I think you made a really good point there that bears repeating. The idea that it's not so much that you need to constantly have decisions for a game to be fun. It's that the decisions you make should be impactful and create an emotional investment.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yep. Make you feel like, I made this decision. Now I can't wait to see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think tapping into the feeling that we all want to be little scientists when we're playing our games and think in that sense, like let people make a hypothesis and test it in the game. And so they can feel creative for one about like, what's my theory that, ooh, adding this card here might change how this whole thing plays out and then play it out. And just, so I think I'm going to try to take that with me of maybe the decision to seeing how things play out ratio, maybe fewer decisions and more seeing how it plays out in a satisfying way, I think could be applied to a lot of games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you play prototypes. I've said it before. Sometimes I play prototypes and it feels like, man, I was doing a lot of work. Like every action I do gets me one thing.
The juice to squeeze ratio wasn't quite right.
Yes. The juice to squeeze ratio. That's a succinct way to say it. Yep.
Perfect.
Cool. Well, on that note, great series, guys. Hope you get to try some of these games we talked about. And if you have other auto battler games, since we really couldn't find that many of them, please share them in our Discord.
We know they're out there.
Yeah. But yeah.
You gotta be.
Yep. So, yeah. Anything else? Or I think we can wrap that series up.
Put a bow on it.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Tabletop Takeaway. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. So please tell your friends and visit our website at thetabletoptakeaway.com where you can suggest games and mechanics for us to cover next on the show.